In the name of Jesus. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his epistle to the Galatians, Paul makes frequent reference to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He makes reference to his participation in the cross of Christ. He writes, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That is indeed the pattern of our life in Christ as a church and as the individual members of this church who make up our congregation. In holy baptism, you were crucified with Christ, and the life you live before God, in God, is it's Christ living in you. And you live by faith in him. Without the crucifixion, there would be no reason for us to be here. Without the crucifixion, our sins would not be forgiven. Without the crucifixion, we would still be enemies of God by nature. Without the crucifixion, we would be dead in trespass and sins. But thanks be to God, our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Thanks be to God, the crucified Christ rose from the dead on the third day. Thanks be to God, this Christ, crucified and glorified, lives eternally to shower his gifts upon the church. Gifts to you this very morning. Gifts of love and mercy and salvation, the gift of his holy gospel, the gift of baptism in which you now live as a child of God, the gift of the holy supper of his body and his blood for you to eat and drink for the forgiveness of all of your sins. So, it's as Paul says in today's reading from Galatians, "God forbid for me to boast in anything except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." You've probably noticed the crosses that we have on display here in our congregation. The cross is on the front of your hymnals. The cross is here on the pulpit. The crucifix is there on the altar, flanked by the two processional crosses. There's a cross on the banner there, moved by his love. The love that led him to take upon himself all of your sins. As Christians, we live by faith in the crucified Jesus. Our congregation is to be focused on Christ crucified. We're like Paul in that sense, where he writes in 1 Corinthians that when he came to the Corinthians, he resolved to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. There's a hint there for us. There's a directive, if you will, that we, in our services, in our worship, in our preaching, in our celebration of the sacrament, are intent upon knowing this Jesus who was crucified for us. The cross may seem like foolishness to the world. The cross may seem like the most absurd thing of all. Who needs the cross? People might say, I'm not a sinner. I can find God in my own way. I can seek God in the way that I choose. But what Paul has to say about that attitude, it pleased God. Well, let me begin a little bit earlier. For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through human wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, non-Jews. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, or women, or children, all of the above. And the weakness of God displayed on the cross is stronger than men. By that weakness on the cross, which our Lord Jesus Christ experienced, he defeated sin, death, and the devil. And it was all for you, for each one of you. No matter your sins, no matter how terrible they may seem in your eyes, no matter how they violated the law and commandments of God, Christ came for all. He died for Paul, who described himself as the chief of sinners. So even though your sins may be chief to you, they may seem to be piled up as high as Mount Everest, Christ died for each and every one of those sins on the cross for you, and he bore your sins away. Far be it from me, far be it from you, to boast in anything except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't boast of your money, your possessions, your status in the community. Don't boast in your children, although it's okay to be proud of your children. But your boast, your rejoicing is anchored in the cross of Jesus. Have you noticed that so far in this service, we've sung two hymns whose focus is the cross of Christ? And in the distribution hymn, we will sing about that cross again. This is a reminder to us of the importance of the cross of Christ. This is proclamation to us of the centrality of the cross of Christ. And when we sing these hymns, when we hear the gospel preached and respond to it with an amen, when we confess the creed, we are together proclaiming this centrality of the cross of Jesus Christ. For we have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us as we fulfill our callings as Christians. Christ lives in you because he loved you and gave himself for you and shed his holy and precious blood for you. He has washed you in holy baptism, as we'll hear at Wilma's funeral this afternoon. Your robes have been washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Lift high the cross. Lift high Jesus, who came down from heaven that he might take up the cross and die on it, bearing away the sin of the world. The cross is not folly to you. The cross is the very wisdom of God. The cross is not a stumbling block to you, as it was to Jews, Christ mentioned in 1 Corinthians, but rather it is the power of God for your salvation. Thanks be to God that Christ Jesus was crucified and has been raised up again and is alive forevermore as our Lord, as our Savior. So I'll conclude this sermon with Paul's concluding words to his epistle to the Galatians. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. And now, the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.